The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Last week, last time, depending on when you're listening to this, we were right in the middle of a big fight with one of our sworn enemies from a previous episode and a couple of Calvin and Hobbes' bad eye monster dudes. And we're going to pick up the action at the top of the round. Once again, if you head over to majorspoilers.com, you can check out the images that are associated with this particular episode. Pictures are taken at the top of every round. Rodrigo.
That's right. So, top of the round. Last time, the squiggle was slowly trying to get away, but I believe by the time his next turn rolls around, he will no longer be slowed by the hypnotic pattern.
No, he will be cut in half by the hypnotic torque.
That's right. So now it's Orym's go. There are still the two cloaked parasite monsters kicking around. So Orym is actually like 5 paces away from any given enemy at this point.
Right.
So he has a decision to make as to who he's going to attack.
So one of the cloak figures is right next to Smith. And Smith, what's your hit point rating?
My HP's at 9 right now.
As is mine. Yeah. So we need to try to move him away.
And or kill.
Or kill. And if I move him away, there's still a chance that if I don't kill him, if I hit and get max damage, then he will probably move back up and attack you.
For those of us. Orym Rivendorn, played by Steven, is our sorcerer, while Smith, played by someone named Rob, is another guy who turns into a dog. We now return you to your regularly spoiled show.
I feel fairly confident that with Torque, with Torque next to the squiggle monster, he could take care of that. So I'm not going to use sleep on anybody.
Okay.
The problem with sleep, depending on how it's cast, it could hit some of our people. You know, I could try hitting sleep on these guys, but it could hit these guys, depending on.
No, because you could drop it right there, and that'd be,
or, you know, right there.
The problem is with sleep, this is the reason why I didn't want to use sleep, is because it is each creature in the burst, and the target is slowed, meaning that they can still attack, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that's not going to do much good for Smith if he's there, so I'm going to have to do a. I'm going to have to move closer. Right there. Right? Is that within?
Yep.
And I'm going to do Thunder Wave.
Thunder Wave.
And I'm going to cast it so that it kind of through here. Okay?
Cool.
And that is a 5 plus. I declared my Wand of Accuracy.
Did you?
Yes, I did just now. Right. 5 plus 6 is 11.
Plus wand of accuracy.
For the wand of accuracy if he allows me to do it.
Nah.
Okay. Well, that's fine because I can use it another time. That's 11.
Okay. 11 versus?
Versus 14.
Yeah. Well, let's just get 11. Him in the habit of declaring. That won't hit.
Yeah, I figured so. All right. Well, that is all I'm going to do.
Okay.
My guardian blades are still active, swirling, swirling, swirling. Oh, you know, I could have...
Just be careful, because Indiana Jones will shoot right through those things.
Yep. All right. Hobbs McKenzie. You doing anything else?
No, that was the end. I'm sorry. Okay. I just screwed it up.
Hobbs is going to whip around and try to get him a skewer dog. Hiya. That will be...
Nope.
A 27 versus AC.
What Torque said.
Right.
4 God. Max damage blasted. Of 11.
I'm at -2.
Okay.
Dang it.
Kaboosh.
And then he's going to go...
And it started so
okay.
well.
1, 2.
No, it didn't. It started with me missing and getting my ass kicked.
Oop. I meant gonna... after that.
Oh, okay.
Run over here.
When the real fighters got involved.
He's going to run over there and flank Torque.
You
well,
son
he's
of...
not actually going to run.
Oh, and my hypnotic pattern.
Yep. And then Calvin is going to...
Don't you have some gloves or something that do anything?
Yeah, they add damage.
Oh, okay.
He's going to run over and play defense.
Defense.
And take a hack at Orm. Yep, Guardian Blades.
Guardian Blades.
So he takes intelligence damage?
Intelligence damage.
Which is 4?
Well, do I include my modifier or just...
No.
Yeah, intelligence 4. Modifier.
Oops. Yeah.
4 damage. Does he die?
No.
Oh.
He might miss, though. That's 12 versus AC.
Oh, yeah, he misses.
Okay. So, runs over at you, goes to swing, phantasmal blade, blocks his blade, and then another one just slices him across the midsection.
Okay.
It's awesome. Smith.
What's it like, butter?
Bleed out.
Give me a death saving throw.
I should probably erase the ones previously.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of paper at this rate.
Yay. 11. All right. He is not. He doesn't bleed enough that it's an issue. Squiggle. He's going to try to chew on Torque to try to get him off. Actually, he's just going to try to run. So, Torque, give me an attack of opportunity.
All righty.
Stab him.
Regular attack, or can I use any special attack?
No, it has to be a basic attack.
Basic attack. 17 plus 11, 28 to hit.
That hits.
Nice.
All right.
And it prevents him from moving.
Yes.
So, spiders are awesome.
Yep.
I rolled a 1, which means
does it have to be marked for that?
8 damage.
I don't know.
What?
Well, either way.
Where's my PHB keep going?
What's the damage again? Sorry?
8.
Hey! I almost got to the right spot. You gain a bonus to opportunity attacks. You go to your wisdom modifier. An enemy struck by your opponent attack stops moving if a move provoke the attack.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. So the squiggle tries to get away, and Torque basically. Takes his axe and chops or hits one of his tentacles kind of lengthwise and like pins it to the ground and then digs into the ground so that, you know, his tentacle is essentially stuck in a slit on the ground, which angers him, so he's going to take a bite at Torque.
He gets 2 attacks. Oh.
No, he gets a move and then an attack.
He gets an attack.
Or, you know, 2 moves if he'd gotten away from you.
There you go.
That will be a 28 versus AC.
Oh, that totally misses.
For 13 damage.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm bloodied again.
Yay, but it's your turn.
Yay. There's a guy behind me. If they're flanking, can I cleave?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you're adjacent to both of them.
And you said that at the beginning we woke up, so my daily power would be back as well?
Yes.
I'd like to cleave and utilize my comeback strike.
No.
Can I do that?
Cleave is one power. Comeback strike is a different power. The only power that gets to get tacked onto other things that you have is Furious Assault.
Okay. I'm going to utilize my comeback strike then on the squiggle.
Good awesome.
21 to hit.
21?
Yeah.
Versus AC.
Versus AC. That just hits.
Just barely?
Yep.
2 weapon plus strength?
Yep.
And so, I can burn a healing surge?
Yep.
Nice. 8, 9 plus 7, 24 damage. And I go rawr and I surge my healing.
Okay. Well, that drops the squiggle.
Yay.
and his boss.
And now there's a dead guy who falls from the sky.
Yep. Well, actually, the squiggle was running on the ground. He's pretty fast. And actually, most of his powers work when he's on the ground because he uses his wings to fight a little bit.
How injured are Calvin and Hobbs looking?
They're both bloodied.
Okay, so they're not likely to kill us all before something happens.
Well, unless something happens. Anything else?
No, I get back 10 points. I get the full healing surge?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Randus.
And that one counts as a real healing surge.
Yep. That one you do spend.
All right. Yep. I see Mr. Smith down there on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I'll run up to him. And, yeah, just to the...
Just here or here?
There. And I'm going to try to let him spend a second wind. Now watch me curse this. The only way I can miss is on a one.
Oh, it's not a one.
I got it on the die. So nice. You can spend your second wind.
I'm at 8.
Do you still got your regen?
He does now.
I do now. So if I make it back to my next turn.
Yeah, I'm hoping you don't get hit. Fine, I'll burn the daily. I'll give you as a minor action. I'll jab you with the hypodermic. Okay, maybe 2 or 3 times. Takes me a while. I'm not used to this hand. And give you 20 temporary hit points.
Okay.
Isn't this the passable one?
You can find a vein with your new arm.
Isn't this the passable one?
Yes.
So this isn't the hypodermic.
Yeah, okay,
this is just slap me with gook.
Yes. I hose you down with gook.
I feel like a Ghostbuster.
Guys, don't say gook.
And don't say I hose you down.
Sorry.
Seriously, it reminds me of a website.
encompass the width and breadth of offensiveness.
In one sentence.
In one sentence. All right, anything else, Randus?
That, I sense, is a major spoilers experience.
That'll be right everything there. Today.
Okay. Top of the round. Orym. So, the squiggle is down. The two cloaked figures are still kicking around. But they don't look to be in particularly good health.
Yes, so that's why I'm going to use my force orb.
If you do, you'll provoke an attack of opportunity.
What if he does anything, he's going to provoke an opportunity attack other than Thunderwave.
Other than Thunderwave?
Since Thunderwave is a close blast.
Oh, okay. Then Thunderwave it is.
Either that or you could follow Torque's advice, which would be?
Use the sword, but that'll still provoke an attack,
no,
right?
No.
Oh, well,
that's just smacking him.
I'm using my Flame Sword +1 on this.
Okay.
I've got a +9 to my attack bonus.
Got him.
And I've got a 19 +9 is 28.
That'll hit.
And I use a 1d8.
Would you like to use your sword's daily power?
Ooh, I forget what its daily power was. Sure, what is it?
I don't remember. It's your sword.
Okay, you have it written down somewhere.
I know I do.
What page is it on? Ongoing fire damage.
1d5.
Yes.
I think it's actually in the...
Flaming Sword plus one. Vault.
Yeah, Adventurer's Vault.
I think Flaming it's 1d6 and then 5 points of ongoing fire damage.
Oh. Yeah.
Flaming weapon. Daily power. Use this power when you hit with the weapon. Deal an extra 1d6 damage and the target takes ongoing 5 fire damage.
Yes.
Okay.
So, here's my 1d8 roll.
It's inexcusable.
2
that I don't
plus
know my
1
stats,
is
I know
3. All right. And then I do an additional 1d6. 5. That's 8. But is there an additional thing?
And he's going to take 5 fire damage.
Okay. So what's all the damage together?
8 sounds like 13.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's 8 right now.
Right.
5, 6, 7 plus the 1 is 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 ongoing.
Okay.
Oh, so the 5 ongoing doesn't happen until next.
Yeah, it won't happen. It'll happen here in, the next couple of seconds when it becomes
when
his
he
turn.
Gets his roll.
He might be spending his turn burning to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
It's
I
almost
had the,
like that
I only use the
thing works.
I only use the blade every once in a while, so that's why I don't.
Yeah,
it's way too useful.
So, Orym's sword glows a brilliant red as it slices.
I think Orym's sword should glow blue, because blue flame would be cool.
We'll talk about it. I think I described it as a red sword to begin with.
Yeah.
Hobbs.
Maybe he can change the desktop theme.
Randa's might be able to.
I was going to go with his IME being changed.
Hobbs is going to take a chop at Torque.
I'm on a duck.
Probably. That's going to be a 16 versus AC. So you duck.
Successfully duck.
I do duck.
Yay. Quack.
Now you should goose him.
Hit it.
And then
I'd have to duck twice before
he's going to shift over here. And that's his turn. And then the other guy, who we've affectionately been referring to as Calvin, takes 5 fire damage.
Take that,
Calvin.
Mars is amazing.
And then retaliate.
Yeah, that's the bad thing.
14 versus AC. Oh, 15 versus AC.
Misses.
There you go.
He couldn't concentrate from
all
the
he was
on fire.
Me.
Yeah. 4 damage.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Blades of awesome.
Yep.
I'm really on top of the keeping track of everything today.
Good job. There's a reason we keep you around.
Apparently.
And Smith. Speaking of keeping you around.
It's easier to divide the pizza bill by 5.
Yeah. I stand up.
Heal 2 points of damage.
I was getting there.
Well, yeah, that happens first in the round.
Hit something.
Yeah, I don't know which one to hit or what to use to hit. I'm going to go with Dragon Frost on Calvin.
Okay.
I'm down to nothing but my daily, which my daily is a big blasty thing.
Yeah.
So, Dragon Frost, shoot tiny little frozen dragons at him. Nat 20.
Nice.
Okay.
And damage?
Let me math. 16. Plus a D8.
For those of you watching at home, math is not a verb.
22.
Okay.
Does that kill him?
You better be going down, you son of a...
Yes.
It does?
Yay! Yep.
Yay! Woo!
His corpse... is here.
His frozen burning corpse.
Did he say versus fire?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yep.
Ah, so he's
a... So it's just a frozen corpse. It's like, oh, God, man. hot.
A frozen corpse on fire.
Okay, anything else there, Smith?
They burn like Sterno.
Moving around. Getting closer to Torque. Getting farther from Torque.
Yeah, I think we're good here.
Okay. Torque, it's your go.
All right, what do we got?
One dude.
Wow, that was a good pan. Somewhere Mike Likem just got mad at you and he doesn't know why. We have a standing guy and another standing guy.
Nope. Oh, nope. Unless you mean you.
I guess I do mean me.
Okay.
I see two guys. I'm thinking one of them must be me.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to hit him.
With?
Well, green powers can be utilized over and over and over, so I'm going to use a green power, a reaping strike attack.
Go for it.
16 plus 11 to hit.
Okay.
And that'll hit. 11 plus 7 to damage.
18?
Yes.
That drops him.
Encounter over.
Da 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 da. Wee.
All right. First order of business. I need to make sure the blonde guy is alive and or dead.
He is alive.
All right.
I'm going to put my size 19 boot in the square of his chest.
Okay.
He's not alive anymore.
I'm going to make sure my axe is in one
hand,
and I'm going to slap it with the other.
Wait. Don't kill him just yet, Torque.
I'm not gonna kill him.
All right.
I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna slap him awake.
Okay.
I'm gonna hold my axe to where if he does anything froogie, I'm gonna bisect a line between his pupils.
All right. You slap him awake.
Right, I know bisect. I knew it. It's a word I learned somewhere.
I suggest we all walk over and
chop.
Watch Torque's police skills in action as he interrogates the subject.
I'm gonna wake him up.
All right, he wakes up. Ugh. He looks around.
You got one chance of walking out of here today without an axe in your face. Who are you?
Oh, my name is Engendrus.
What were you doing here?
I was attempting to kill you all.
Well, you failed.
Before you found out we were here.
No, I knew you were here.
Okay. How did you know we were here?
We have information on your whereabouts.
Via?
Smack him again, Torque.
Whack him.
Ow.
Roll a 20.
If you want me to, I can diplomacize with him.
Go ahead.
Awesome sauce.
Can I hit him?
Good cop, bad cop?
Pretty much.
A good cop, 28. Cop.
Nice. Well, we figured it out.
Figured what out?
Where you guys were going next.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious, especially since you told everybody that you were heading over here.
Couldn't tell everybody.
No, you just told the king, everyone in his court.
He makes a point.
You got one of the pods, didn't you?
I tell people not to leave him around. Don't look at me.
I particularly like the parts where you edit out your horrible transformations.
How do you know about that?
I'm sorry. Are you not aware that your ears are still pointy?
Oh, yeah.
Grr. Why are you trying to kill the world?
That sound was a face palm.
Why are you trying to kill the world? What are you getting out of it?
We get the satisfaction of having our gods on this plane.
But
and then they eat you.
If they so desire.
That's stupid.
It's insanity, I tell you. Insanity. This whole world's gone crazy.
Tell us how to stop it.
Well, let me ask you a question. What are you trying to accomplish?
I'm trying to accomplish keeping this arm right above your face from twitching and making you have two of them.
Why?
Tell us how to stop it.
No. Follow me along on this one. Why are you trying to stop us?
Don't try and confuse me.
Because you set the sky on fire. It's not natural.
Oh, so it's about nature?
It's about allowing everything to live. About allowing the good to live and the evil who's... obviously, you...
are...
from achieving your goal.
Our gods aren't evil.
A burning sky sure appears evil to me.
Yes. You know what appears evil to me? Some kind of lycanthropic monster that shoots lightning out of its mouth. But you... I don't see you stabbing him. Because
well,
he
his
looks
actions,
evil.
His actions... speak louder than his looks.
Do they?
And he has done everything in his power to help us whenever possible. You, on the other hand, have tried to kill us every time you see us.
Yes, I suppose that's true.
And you send your minions after us to kill us all the time.
Yes.
And we were attacked by your creatures that have fallen from the moon.
I see. So now you want to do this out of revenge? Or is it still because of the wonderful nature of this world?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Since we're philosophizing, it's less of a question, more of a kind of one of them digrammatories.
I have time.
All right, I figured you did. Not as much as you think.
I kick him in the kidney just to say, oh, are you sure?
Okay.
Sorry, Stephen cracked me up there. What you're doing is called psych 'em out. And one of the tricks about psych 'em out is you got to be smart enough to think about these questions. So here's the answer to why I want to save the world. I don't know. I don't care. I just don't like you and what you're doing. Tell me how to stop it.
Hmm. And Orm kicks him in the kidney again.
Well, kicking dust onto my jacket is not going to help you. I'll tell you that.
I stomp on his face.
I'm going to count to three. Because that's about as high as I can. Because I wanted to make the joke for you because you were about to insult my intelligence because that's what you psych 'em out guys do.
Oh, I think you're plenty smart, at least when that animal part of your brain kicks in.
Well, I appreciate that. How do we stop it?
How do you stop what?
How do we put the moon back where it's supposed to be?
Oh, I don't know.
All right.
I seriously
don't. I
chop
his head in half.
Okay. Ow. He is dead.
I hate it when they try to psych him out.
Where's Thony's ship from where we're at?
Over there in flames.
I rush over even in my bloodied state.
Remedy that.
To see if Thony is anywhere alive.
Okay. As you guys start rushing over, the ship was basically on its side in flames. The ship rights itself as you guys are heading over, and the flames continue to burn sideways, essentially in the direction that they were burning, mm-hmm. and then they flicker a couple times and go away.
Okay. Thony!
What?
Are you okay?
Yeah, fine.
He was playing possum.
He lowers a ladder for you guys to climb.
I could use some assistance.
I'll help you.
Thanks.
I use my mage hand to try to lift him. Doesn't work.
Nope.
I could lift your other arm
even
if we knew where it was at.
Dignified way.
I know where it's at.
My arm.
Didn't know where it was at. Not sure where it's at anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess you do like the underarm, overarm thing and help him up.
Yep.
You guys basically both climb the ladder.
Under.
Collapse on the deck. I'm bloodied still.
He can use his legs.
I hate him. I hate them.
Torque, good job. Good job, Torque.
They be all smart with the words and the, it's oh, right, look Torque. At me. Why do you want to be good? I don't care. And the, oh, look at me. I'm going to chop him in the face. Son of a mona.
Thony, what happened?
Oh, well, I saw that guy on his weird flying thing flying around. And so I flipped the boat over and pretended that it was on fire.
You played possum.
Yeah, that's, I did that.
That's brilliant. I'm going to slap Thony on the back in a hopefully not a, a spine-shattering manner.
Nah, he's really not as frail as he looks.
He like beef jerky.
Yep, kind of.
He's only old meat, but he's tough. Yeah.
As I lay there on the deck, still bleeding, bloodied with 9 hit points, Thony.
I help the whiner.
Thony.
By the way, Orym is a master of a school of magic called... passive aggressiveness.
Thony.
Yes?
In all the time that you were with the Exhilary of Cogs, did they ever talk about going to the moon?
They talked about coming from the moon.
Did they talk about how to get back?
No. I don't think so.
Then we're headed to the Exhilary.
Take us to the Cogs.
Should we stop by the Diamond Throne on the way?
Probably.
And very well. What?
We need to report to the king.
Yeah.
Well... last time we were in Diamond Throne, a bunch of these guys attacked us.
And I kind of think that maybe telling the king what happened is probably half the reason that they followed us so easily. Maybe it's time to get sneaky.
Take us to the Exhilary, Thony.
Let's head for the Cogs. You got to fight ninjas with ninjas.
We could still report to the king and only the king.
Yeah, unless he's one of them.
And you remember, he didn't have any use for what we was trying to tell him the first time.
True, exactly.
He said, oh, I'll send out my guys. And all that probably did was have 4 guys locked in a fort and eaten by giant spiders, or so I might have heard.
Probably.
In theory.
Meta humor. Right?
It's an intelligence of 8 and a wisdom of 19.
It's up to you if you guys want to go to Diamond Throne, but I say we go right to the source.
I vote straight to the Cogs.
Cogs.
Very Cogs. Well.
Because the last time we went straight from one fight into another, it worked so well.
Cisco says there's not a fight at the cogs.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
If only we had reinforcements.
If only.
Who said we're not going to run into the dragon again?
Exactly. Maybe.
Well, who said anything? Life is short. If we was worried about what we was going to see around the corner, we wouldn't be coming here from Elfieland or walking around with a dog face or trying to find the next funnel cake stand or doing that thing you do with the robot crab. We are the defenders of something, and we may not know why or what, and the smarty people may go, why do you want? And we will have to go, I don't know. But you know what? We're going to do it because that's what we do, because there's only four of us, and if the four of us fail, then everything catches fire, and there's no duckies, and there's no funnel cakes, and damn it, I'm not going to live in a world like that. Well, I'm working on my warlord.
Presumably, warlord eventually. If we failed, you wouldn't be living in any world, Torque.
It's not important. Are you going to be like the talkie guy? Because the last guy who tried to do that to me ain't looking so good right now. I'm kidding. You're my doggy pal. Can you teach me how to do that? Because I figure if I could do that, then I could get my powers back and fight more.
I might be able to do something along those lines.
I'm going to learn me some magic.
I'm going below deck.
I'm going to be Moonhold's worst nightmare, a Torque with a magic.
I imagine that is a lot of people's worst nightmare.
Yes.
So, you guys decide to go back to the Exilarchy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
Tony,
after Torque's rousing speech, what else can we do?
Yes. It was glorious.
Is it St. Swithin's Day already?
I forget the word. We band of buggered.
Who are about to die don't want to.
That would be like Strike Force mozzarella.
Okay. Thony goes up to the back up to the helm. It's like, well, it's good that you guys took care of those guys. And he, you know, kind of starts putting the ship into gear, such as it is. Like, did you get any information from that guy?
A little.
I see. Well, he was probably not going to be very cooperative, and I guess he didn't have anything on him that gave you any kind of information, so.
Hey, wait a minute.
Nobody searched the body.
Nobody declared searching the bodies.
Why don't we search the body?
Oh, you want to go back down and search the body?
I haven't taken off yet. He's just putting everything in.
You're taking off now.
I'm glad you thought of that. You're smart.
Oh, well, I used to be an adventurer myself.
Sometimes it's great when you have somebody around who can act as like a voice of reason, because we ain't got one of them.
Well, maybe when you get your fifth number.
I'm going to go search the body.
Okay, climb back down, run over, search the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's pretend I did it the first time.
Nah, it's funnier this way.
I know, it really is.
So you run back over to a puddle of blood with a guy in it. And brains. And start going through his robes. In his robes, you find a couple gold pieces and a couple documents in a language you don't understand, and a little pouch that is kind of tied close.
Does it feel heavy?
It feels like there's something inside, something hard and has kind of an irregular shape.
So not like powdery or anything?
Right. There's an object of some sort inside.
I'm the one doing the searching, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm below deck.
Okay, so I'm gonna take that bag and give it to somebody magic-y to see if there's anything magic-y about it before I open it.
Okay.
And the documents, do they, to my arcana check of one, remind me of anything that we've seen in Orym's book, Unspeakable, Imaginable, Ancient Evil, and You?
Did you actually roll a one?
I actually rolled a one.
Okay. These are probably...
Which means that Torque these probably are, not only doesn't know, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Throw it in the bag.
Yep.
All right. Nothing else?
Nope. That's about it. And, you know, his cool, tuning fork sword.
Let's steal that.
Okay.
Just in case.
Let's go ahead and check the other two as well while we're at it.
Yep.
Okay.
Might as well.
Those guys have nothing on them.
Didn't think
but
so.
But when you search them, you realize that one of them is wearing kind of very plain clothes, like he's wearing a tunic and actually has an apron on, like he was either a carpenter or some kind of smith. And then the other guy is wearing leather armor and has a couple of tattoos that maybe hint at the fact that he was a mercenary.
Are they dead?
They are dead, and so are the parasites on them. They are shriveling away as we speak.
So you figure maybe the parasites took them over and made them do whatever it is they did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't cut them in half next time we see some.
We should just cut the parasites in half.
Well, it's going to be hard to cut a parasite in half that's on a guy's face.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw what happened when my axe gets close to faces over there, but it ain't pretty.
You were able to hold it off his face for a little while.
I feel kind of bad.
Is there a town nearby?
Killing those guys.
Not terribly close, but if we head south instead of heading straight west, well, southwest instead of straight west, there is a town there. It's pretty nice, and their magic shop is okay. We can at least pick up components if you guys need.
Maybe can we just do a stop off really quick?
Is there?
It'll take at least a day, but.
Well, it's going to take us a month to get back over to the Exilarchy.
No.
Weren't we flying a couple of weeks going from Diamond Throne?
It took us about 4 days to get here from Diamond Throne.
All right.
Yeah. Should be maybe three more.
I have to check the pods.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
you were telling us like
a couple
weeks.
Yes.
No, he never said weeks. He said it took a while.
Yeah.
But it didn't take... I didn't think it was more than about a week.
Yeah.
Either way.
We'll check.
Thony's old.
And he drives really slow with his blinker on the whole time. What's our benefit?
When he starts getting on the off-ramp, he changes his mind and swears back on.
What would we gain if we went to the town first?
It might be a place that either A, has supplies that we can reprovision ourselves, or considering that we have someone that's a smith or someone that looks like they're working in a town, it might be a town that needs some assistance.
I kind of feel like maybe our plate's full.
It's up to you.
But I don't mind stopping someplace where we might be able to, you know, gas up your magic-y stuff or whatever it is you guys do.
Well,
it's also the straightest route to the Exilarchy is over Diamond Throne, and maybe we don't want to go near it, so maybe taking a detour is not such a bad idea.
That's a good idea. That's twice now you've been smart.
Well,
I'll make you the leader.
I'm smarter than I am tough.
Torque, what did you find? What did you find, Torque?
He got this cool swordy thing that I want to play with and see what it does. And some stupid papers here, and a bag of something that I was afraid was going to set me on fire. So I give it to you, so you can open it.
All right. Well,
that
I'm
way,
going
if you
to,
get set on fire, I can kind of laugh a little bit.
I'm going to use an Arcana check to see if there's any kind of spell or anything guarding this. Although I have a feeling I know what it is. But 23.
The bag does not seem to be in any way enchanted.
I hold it away from me and open it up.
Okay.
And tip out the contents.
Okay.
Well, you may want to look at the contents before you tip them out.
Well, I don't want to lean over anything. I have seen this thing called aliens.
Well, you do have a horrible flesh-eating parasite in your backpack.
That is true.
Right.
Okay, so you tip out the contents, and the contents are a kind of a folk art flute. It's like, or rather, kind of an ocarina-looking thing. It is in the shape of probably a dog, maybe a bear, but most likely it's a dog. It's like a little dog ocarina. You kind of blow into its mouth, and it's got four holes in its back. You just kind of put it to your mouth and play a little tune.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to see what it does.
Well, you put your hand over, or you just kind of like...
Yeah, just...
It just makes a noise.
Okay.
I might have cleaned that before I put it in my mouth.
I wiped it on my sleeve.
That don't seem sanitary.
I'm going to take these papers and examine them below deck while I try to heal up.
Okay. What do you do with the flute?
I don't know what I do. I'm going to look at it some more. I'm going to hold on to it for just a little bit. I'm going to give it to Randus.
Okay.
I toss it to him. He's not really good catching with the one hand. Maybe he can figure something out with it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to read these papers, though, so don't throw it over the deck or anything. Hold on to it. Don't let that go. There's a reason why he held on to it. Something important. This means something.
I wonder...
If you suppose.
Y'all, you know how there's magic-y guys and then there's stupid magic-y guys who are like, ooh, look at this, I made it all here, but it's not really here. And then there's like magic-y guys who yell and scream and play the guitar and stuff. You think maybe he was one of them guitar magic-y guys?
I don't know.
Sure. That sounds plausible.
You know, we'll examine this more in detail.
You keep calling them birds.
Bards?
Yeah, that.
All right.
You think he was a bird?
Don't lose that whistle. It may be important. I'm going to take these papers below deck. Start to convalesce as we fly off to this other town.
Okay.
And I'm going to examine these papers in detail.
I'm not sure what convalesce means, but it sounds painful.
All right. What's everybody else doing?
I would like to take this new sword to my my training loft and see what it does.
Okay. So down below deck to the hole?
Yep.
Okay.
Fighting off infection and trying to rig up some sort of prosthesis.
Okay. Well, Thony can help you with that once he's got the ship in autopilot.
What if you were to put your assistant on the end of the prosthesis as a hand?
We'll see about it.
He doesn't. The assistant doesn't have the attention span for it.
We were lucky he was able to hold up the crossbow.
Yep.
Which is why he had to use my shoulder for a little while.
Yep.
I'm going to sit down on deck and just relax.
Okay. So you sit down on deck and start to relax. And you know how I told you that you felt like you'd had a full meal before?
Yeah.
Now you feel like you've eaten too much.
Uh-oh.
And then you start to get kind of nauseous.
Yeah.
Seasickness.
What am I growing this time?
It feels like there's a... Basically, it feels like there's a brick in your stomach.
Oh, man. He's about to crap a brick.
I was going to say, oh, he ate a Pizza Hut.
I'm hungry.
Not a sponsor of the Critical Hit podcast.
Stay away from that Thai food when it's really spicy is what I'll say.
I was actually thinking of approaching Excedrin for... as sponsors for Critical Hit
for you.
Rodrigo uses only Excedrin.
When the migraine monster shows up, I reach for my Excedrin.
And as soon as you say migraine monster shows up, Matthew goes, hello.
I like to kill it.
All right, sorry to digress, but...
Torque's actions are brought by Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh, God.
No, go away. I got to hit. Anyways, I'm going to... I'm just going to stick my finger down my throat, see if that'll help out.
Oh, vomit. God.
Oh, yes.
So bad.
So you stick your finger down your throat and suddenly realize, well, this is definitely going to work.
And I think you swallowed something evil.
That's not
And
good.
Then you just bend over and start puking. But what comes out is not your standard type of puke.
Really?
In fact, it is 1,000 tiny pink glowing marbles. Just blah, 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 and you just go ding, 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 all over the deck of the ship.
Okay, I'd just like to say that I just cut a man's head in half, and now I'm officially nauseated.
We'll say that Randus and Thony are able to see this.
Way to role play, Brian.
Randus, your arm has been cut off. Indeed. Oh, somebody's puking out marbles.
I think Randus may be Vulcan.
I think he is.
What'd you say his last name was?
Duthane.
Okay. He's of the Moonhold Duthanes.
So yes, I'm vomiting marbles.
Didn't Randus Duthane dig his way out of Shawshank Redemption or something like that?
Okay.
That was Andy Dufresne, my bad.
Andy Dufresne. Anyway.
Yep.
So you're puking marbles. Futurama joke.
A self-help pamphlet that you find in the Department of Health in Moonhold. So you're puking marbles. So your arm's been chopped off.
That's
so you're a dead orc again.
Do we want to keep those?
Tony walks over and takes out some. Takes out a pair of pliers, picks one up, puts his glasses on, looks at it, flips a couple of lenses onto his glasses, looks at it. Looks like he like holds it up in front of you. See that glowing thing in the center? Looks like what happens when you activate Residuum.
Interesting. So you suppose it could be used towards magical components?
Oh, probably. I mean, clearly it's magic.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, what else are you going to do with it? Throw it at people?
Possibly. I don't know. I'd rather not have anything to do with that. But
all right, well, I'll go get a broom and I can scoop it up.
You okay there, Smith?
Blargle vomit?
Yep.
Still going.
Yep, he does that for a while. And Thony goes down, gets a broom, and then sweeps it all up into a couple dustpans, and then
he gets him a couple of buckets.
Yeah, puts it in a big bag for you guys. It's actually not huge. The marbles are actually fairly small, so they just fill up a good, you know, couple handfuls.
Are they moist?
No, not that you can see. And then again, you refuse to touch one. So
yep.
From Thony's estimates, you guys have about, judging from the energy quotient that he can take readings off with his awesome glasses, you guys probably have about 1,360 gold worth of ritual components out of Smith's puke.
How much?
1,021
gigawatts?
1,360.
Okay.
Since it's basically pure magic.
You feel better after puking. Who wants me to use these to make some healing potions?
You gonna touch them?
I could use utensils to handle them.
You're pretty sure at some point Thony like picked one up and smelled it and probably actually touched his tongue to it.
Ugh. Anyways.
And then you feel better after puking, Smith.
Yay.
Y'all done?
There's one more.
Keep it.
I think I'm good.
That's good.
Alright. So... Orim goes down to look at some documents.
Yeah, sitting there drinking some herbal tea that I found on the airship.
Mm-hmm.
Probably heals me back up just a little bit, but not quite.
Well, you guys can at least take a,
yeah.
Begin flipping through the pages. Do I recognize any of the writing?
Short rest.
Yeah, it's actually written in Elven.
All right. So I can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
It's basically saying, we suspect that the Fated are going to be traveling to the tower. And then gives a, you know, rough estimate or when you guys would get there.
Is there anything else that it says? Is it signed by anybody?
Nope. It's not signed.
Is it? Okay. But it's written in Elven,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
The book that you have, some of it's written in Elven.
And that's also interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the cultists you guys have fought were elves.
Doesn't surprise me. Anything else?
Remember that first game? Are these humans? Are they elves?
Not anymore. Not signed by any, no stamp, no mark. Hold the paper up to the light, look for a watermark embedded into the paper.
Nope. This is pretty much like it's the kind of thing where they've written things in such a way that, you know, it kind of just looks like a except for the fact that they use the word faded.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like a random marching orders or manifest or something for a you know, if somebody was going to move a package from point A to point B, except that it has even less information than that. It's kind of like, if you know what you're looking for, then it's clearly go over here, that's where the guys are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all it says. Go over here, that's where the guys are going to be roughly this day.
Mm. So pretty worthless.
Pretty much, yeah, right. At this point.
It's parchment, I'll hold on to it.
Okay.
I may be able to wash the ink away at some point
and
use it anew for my spell.
Parchment
book.
Is expensive.
It is.
it's even more expensive to bind it into a book.
Yeah, I know.
each page is priceless.
I know.
All right. I so Torg takes the sword for a spin.
Okay.
You flick it around. You know, it has that. It is like a big, long tuning fork, basically, with sharp edges. It makes a cool noise when you swing it around. But that's about it.
It doesn't have any magic-iness?
It doesn't have any magic to it.
It doesn't cut very good?
It cuts as well as a nice, sharp, well-made sword would.
A well-made longsword?
Yeah.
Just a well-made regular sword?
Well, a longsword is a regular sword.
No, there could be a short sword.
There's swords and there's
short. So then a short sword is a regular sword?
It is.
Okay.
No, a short sword is a short
sword. Now that we've
sword.
Identified what a Steven's lexicon means. Oh, a short sword's a regular sword.
Yes.
Gotcha. And that's what you compensate with a long sword.
Exactly.
Okay. Steven is used to telling us that short things are normal.
Okay. I gotcha.
Whereas I look at this and go, yeah, this is a regular sword. Is it something that any one of us might make any use of?
Well, you recall that he tapped it to make a noise to activate the monster transmogrification stuff. So maybe you guys can actually study it to figure out how the monster transmogrification works.
That looks like a job for
Magic and
Thonies. All
right.
Yep.
I could bang it on things, but I'm afraid that that would, you know.
Yeah. If you like try to bend it or something, it probably will stop working. But I mean, it is a sturdy, well-made sword. You can, you know, swing it around and it won't damage the mechanism by whatever it is that works.
The more
since he, you know, stabbed you a couple times with it,
be more concerned about inadvertently drawing the attention of some foul beast
that might or might not still be flying around.
I bet I could kill something with it, though.
Yes, but I think at this point you could kill something with an egg.
Next time we're going to try that.
Broken eggshell in the face.
Can I cleave with an egg?
If you use it as a melee weapon, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, the shell goes everywhere and kills another
guy. My eye!
Yeah.
5 points of damage to the eye. I think I'm going to try that sometime. I'm going to cleave with, like,
a bagel.
Randus up and cleave
a bagel.
A 10-day-old bagel that's been sitting out in the sun.
Do they have bagels in Moonhold?
They have funnel cakes.
They probably
bagels
have something similar.
Behind.
Yeah.
Dwarven war bread.
Dwarven war bread. That starts out tough as a rock.
Yeah.
Dwarven war bread is a weapon in and of itself.
Yep.
Discworld. You kill somebody with a pork shoulder.
And then we're going to try to make a ham hock. We're going to try to make a prosthesis for Randus.
Yes.
Okay. Well, between Thony and you, you can basically make an arm that you
some
can...
rudimentary grasping.
Yeah, you can essentially like move your shoulder to get it to get the hand to grasp and open.
It's some...
And, you know, also you can turn your body so that the elbow locks and unlocks and stuff, but it's very rudimentary.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the cogs could make something better.
Well, we might have to see about that.
I'm sorry you lost an arm. I looked for it, but we was kind of sucked out into space and time and dimension and everything.
Yeah, I think we had some other concerns at the time.
Well, yeah, we were dead for a while.
Indeed.
That sucks.
We're close to it, in any case.
Yeah.
I'm downstairs taking an extended rest.
Okay.
I think we're really dead. Every time I die, I have these weird dreams, and it's just not good.
Oh, that does sound troubling.
Yeah. Anything else, Rodrigo, that we need to do that's going on? Maybe everybody should take a rest and a extended rest and recharge and refresh before we get to this town.
We can get Randus his new breastplate that marks him as the Black Knight.
It's only a flesh wound.
Yep.
Bite your kneecaps off.
Well, before we go, Randus, do you actually take some time to play around with the flute?
With the flute? Yeah. I'll look at that in conjunction with the sword.
Okay.
See if there's some sort of harmonic resonance or whatever.
No, not between them, but you're pretty sure that there is something harmonic that needs to happen with the flute. Possibly an actual combination of notes.
I see.
You're pretty sure the flute or the little ocarina thing actually is magic.
Yeah, so study that, try different.
Okay.
Whatever. Would there be anything written on it or anything, like the notes written on there?
It has runes scrawled onto it, but they're, you know, kind of like channels rather than necessarily instructions or even, you know, words of power. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very rudimentary kind of magic, it seems.
Basically just go through each of the chords or whatever and see what...
You know, you cover up you cover up the other one, and essentially, you know, are you guys there for this?
I'm downstairs sleeping.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, this could be after you guys wake up if you want.
Yeah, sure, I'm sitting around.
I'm just kind of wandering the ship whenever.
Okay, so Randus will go on deck and try to figure this out, because presumably he wouldn't want to be in a terribly enclosed space in case it does something weird. And you guys basically sit there and watch Randus play the ocarina for a little bit. Plays one note, then a higher note, then a slightly higher note, then a pretty similar note, then another one. And then eventually, you end up, you know, you try each combination of, you know, a single hold covered, two holes, three holes, and then you actually cover all four holes and blow in. And as you're blowing, you can't stop. And you feel it actually sucking air out of your lungs.
Well, that sucks.
And then you...
Ouch.
Can we, like, tell that he's panicking
or
anything?
Yes. Okay, yes.
Because I am.
Jump and pull it away.
Okay. As you pull it away, the little flute animal starts wiggling around, kicks off of your hand, and just kind of goes flying. As it gets close to landing on the deck, it grows immensely, you know, from its original tiny size, to be about maybe about 7 feet from tail to nose. And as it lands, it goes from being a very roughly shaped dog to clearly a gigantic mastiff that is jet black.
Awesome.
And it just kind of sits there looking at Randus.
Sit?
It sits.
come?
Trots over to you.
Try roll over.
Roll over?
It, goes up on its hind legs and pushes Smith down, and then with its head kind of flips him over.
Proceeds to make sweet, sweet love to him.
Hmm. Well, that could be an interesting trick. I have to remember that one. All right.
Stand up and dust yourself off.
Okay.
Looks like you have a second familiar.
Indeed.
This one's more of an unfamiliar.
True. Well, I suppose. Stay. Just stay.
Okay. Just sits there. Yeah. This is an onyx dog. You can find it on the Adventures Vault, page 182.
All right. Well, might come in handy at some point. But for now, I think it's good here.
Okay. So you guys fly off towards this this town in the southwest. As the ship flies towards it, you know, you begin to see that the sky is actually starting to clear.
Interesting.
I'm sure we're all on deck with that news.
Yeah. You can actually see stars poking through, and the sky is actually clearing fairly rapidly. You can see off in the distance there are still kind of these ash storms going on. And, you know, pretty soon as you're moving, you can see most of the sky, and it's clear and there's stars. Of course, at some point, one of you looks back in the direction that you're coming from, and you guys spot the moon, which is about 10 times bigger than it's supposed to be, and has this huge red kind of lava-looking gash across it, which actually makes it look like there's a gigantic eyeball in the sky that's looking right at you guys. And if you remember looking at the moon from your car, you know, as real people, it actually looks like it's following you. And we'll wrap up there.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Wow. Good adventures. I, for one, after this big tower arc is over, am glad we're all still here.
Yes.
Until we're not all here. We're mostly here.
If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can email us at podcast@majorspoilers.com. You can also head over to the majorspoilers.com website, click on the link to see the podcast, all the podcasts that we do, and you can comment on individual episodes. So until next time, for Randus, Smith, Torque, and Orem, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits. Notice we didn't give anything to the Dungeon Master because, man, he keeps killing us each week.
Well, I keep trying.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.